Welcome to episode 3 of the Flush Hour Podcast. It's your boy, Matt Kang.
Christian Heavens.
A lot to talk about. We've had a lot going on in the golf industry, so let's just get right into it, Christian.
Yeah, man, look, I'm glad to still be having a job and be, you know, doing episode 3. We had a little scare a couple of days ago, right? You know, right when we started feeling like we found our niche, found our thing, started building some momentum on IG. I go to post something on my IG, just like a swing video, just to show people, like, hey, I'm still out here playing golf. Because we've been kind of really pushing the Flush Hour stuff. And I go to post, and the damn thing ain't loading. It ain't trying to post it, so I'm refreshing, close out my app, open it again, delete it, try to post it again. I'm panicking, dog.
Panicking.
Freaking out.
You're the first person I texted.
Freaking out. I texted Matt. I was like, Matt, yo, IG working? And he was like, no, man.
I think I said I got hacked.
Right. He thought he got hacked. He's like, man, what are we going to do?
And then I went on my first and second burner account.
Yeah.
To try to see if those worked. They didn't work. And I realized we're unemployed.
Yeah, unemployed. I was like, man, I'm up here looking for a job on Uber right now. This is the
shit. I started printing resumes for a solid hour thinking like,
bruh, all the quote-unquote influencers were panicking, struggling. I ain't even an influencer. I was on the cusp of it. And
at least for us, during the 4 or 5 hours, we were able to go to the Ranger practice. But them dudes
I was still panicking, checking off on
it. It was a wild blackout having IG shut down for that long. But
anyway, we back here, and we connected to the people. Again, the people, you all have been showing us love.
Yeah,
we've been growing in subscriptions. We're on all the platforms, or majority of them. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and we're getting on. YouTube subscriptions are blowing up. People are following the page, like I said. Please keep sharing our content. We appreciate
it. Hit that button. Subscribe, follow, share.
All that. And stay tuned. Keep watching this entire episode, because at the end, we're going to have an opportunity, because y'all been giving us so much. We're giving back to somebody and having a giveaway contest. So appreciate that for sure. So, man, let's get into it for sure.
So, questions?
Yeah, speaking of, you know, the IG followers, we actually Matt tapped in and
we got some
asking questions from some of the followers, and we got them here. Let's start off with
let's get to the one that everybody wants to know.
What's that one?
Who's a better golfer? So I'll let you go first.
This is stupid. This is not, why is this a question? What are we doing here?
What are you talking about?
Okay. All right.
Are we going about what we've done or what we're doing?
Bro, who is the better golfer?
Me.
It don't even matter. It's both. All right. So we're going to do this how they do TV shows. First take, they do first things first. You got to have one person that's the troll, and he chooses the other side.
So who's the troll in this conversation?
I'm going to keep it real and tell the truth. He's going to know that's the truth, but to keep it entertaining, he's just going to have to lie.
About what?
Let's just play along. Ready?
Why? That's a big why.
I am the better golfer. Matt, go ahead and lie.
I'm the better golfer.
Thank you. See, they're right on cue. He's so good at that. He's such a good...
No, we can go based off of the last time we played, which was 2 weeks ago.
And yeah.
With Bryce and my dad.
Yeah.
You won the front nine.
Okay.
By a lot.
Yeah.
I won the back nine by a lot.
But not as much of a...
Oh, my God. Don't even do that.
Overall.
We both lost. We had to buy Bryce lunch. We both lost.
That ain't true.
Well, you know what? Let's settle it anyway.
Tiger Woods won the Masters. Last time he won the Masters. Who did he win the front nine against?
I have no idea.
Because it don't matter. It's about what happens at the end, the total end of the round.
All I know is I'm a better golfer. I've proven it time and time. For years, fam.
So this is a good learning point for a lot of people interested in playing golf at a high level. You almost have to be delusional. You have to have the self-confidence and self-belief. What else are we supposed to say?
We'll settle it. We'll set up a match.
So we might do it. We might even make a YouTube video about this.
Let's do it.
YouTube?
And no match play bullshit. Stroke play.
No gimmies. Inside the lip.
No breakfast balls. I know you'd be loving them breakfast balls. You always be pulling up to the club. Yo, Kang, I didn't warm up. I need a breakfast ball. None of that shit.
I'd be hungry, dog. I'd be hungry.
Exactly. We're going 1v1 on the course, 18 holes like a tournament. You lose a ball, you're walking back and re-teeing.
Okay. All right.
First. But anyways, we got to go back to these questions.
First question is to be determined. We're going to find out. Hey, place bets. Leave a comment on who you think.
Who do you think it's going to be? We'll do a poll in the comments.
Right. All right, here we go. The second one we got from Vanessa the Great. Spelled THAGR number 8. Shout out to you.
Shout out to Vanessa.
Will you ever talk about women golf attire? I enjoy seeing the men's style and the brands.
Yeah, I think that's a huge topic to talk about. I think we're seeing a change in women's golf daily, right? You're seeing the purses go up on the LPGA Tour. You're seeing girls getting endorsements with like guys with brands like Malbon.
Yeah.
But obviously in the men's game, you know, that's where all the money's been pushed in the marketing side. So you're seeing the clothing change. You're seeing guys really, you're seeing the evolution of the culture. But there is a huge opportunity in the women's market that is needed, because through COVID to now, there are so many women playing golf.
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of golfers that are playing, that love the game genuinely, that are building communities with other women. And there isn't enough product for them to have to adapt to their style to what they like.
Right.
And that is really behind. I think it would be really cool for me to be able to like style a female golfer on tour. That's been something that I've always wanted to do. So hopefully somebody will give me a chance. But
who would you rather? Do you have anybody in mind that you would like to, like an ideal LPGA player?
Or you know what? And I know this is like shooting my shot, but like my favorite golfer to watch is Nelly Korda. I think she's like the sickest golfer. She's the best swing in the world.
Yeah.
She's got my favorite golf swing. She's marketable. She's got a great personality and seems like she's a good person. I think signing with Nike was great, but I also think that holds her back on her personal style, because she had a deal with, I think, Jay Lindberg last year, and she had her own collection, and it was kind of cool. You know, it was a vibe.
Right.
And then she went to Nike, and you're seeing her wear, like, just like the same shit you see in store that's just not that appealing. To me.
Right.
I think to a lot of us, in all reality, you know, Nike golf for women, doesn't provide a specific look. I think that caters to everybody. And, I'd love to see an improvement in that. So I think like they have an opportunity to give her product or design her product that can make her look even better on the course.
Yeah.
Style wise.
Yeah, for sure. I will say this. I think I'm almost jealous. I think the girls have some of the best shit, especially the shoes. The shoes are like, I'm looking at shoes online, like, dang, that's dope. I'm trying to get those. And sure enough, they're women's
colorways.
The colorways are just, you can do so much more with it. They got so many better options.
So, are we going to see women's shoes next week?
We can't speak to them unless they come out with size 15s. No.
So, that's the other thing, though, is I actually was on Puma Golf's website today, and they have this new shoe out that I saw that I really like. It's like a classic. It's like a classic shoe they just dropped. And I saw a colorway that was fire.
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit, I want to order these. And then they're for women. And I'm like, well, I can't fit into these. So, yeah, I think there's a huge opportunity for women's golf. I think it's growing. I think there's going to be a lot of change. But, you know, you look at women's style, there's so many more accessories and colorways and layering that they can do that, you know, men can't really do as much.
Right.
We don't walk around with a purse. We don't walk around with a jacket sometimes. Like, our accessory is a hat and our sneakers.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like girls can do more, have more versatility than
men,
because they don't have to wear collared shirts. They can wear, like, sleeveless stuff.
There's no rules, really, right?
Really, they wear, yeah.
You can wear yoga pants. You can wear T-shirts. You could cover up. You could take things off. There's just so much versatility in women's fashion. And I love to see the boundaries of that pushed. I think it's slowly evolving.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to see like someone like Nelly Korda really like push the limits with Nike, because Nike has so many other products with the brand that she could probably wear.
Right.
But putting her in just some normal pants and a hoodie it ain't doing it for me.
I feel you with that. But all right, so let's keep it with fashion here.
Cool.
And we talked about the shoes.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to find out who asked this question, but what's your favorite all-time sneaker and that you would like to be seen turned into a golf shoe?
I know we kind of talked about this on our own, because you have your staples. I've never been one to have like...
Shout out to the Air Force.
Yeah, I've never had classic staples. But for me, my favorite golf shoe would actually be this shoe that I'm wearing. And it kills me to say this because it's a Adidas. have a love-hate relationship with them.
Break it down. Explain it to the people that can't see it.
So this is an Adidas Samba Golf. This came out a while ago. This is my favorite, like, everyday lifestyle sneaker. It's a skater shoe, but they made them spikeless. So for me, I would love to see these shoes with actual spikes. And again, I know they're meant to, like, wear on the course and to go out
right
and, like, do some shit. But if I could get these with spikes, I could actually wear these in tournament.
Yeah, it's true.
So this is my number one goated everyday sneaker that I want to see made into a better golf shoe.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to Golf with Vic. He's the one that gave that question. I'm the Forces, man. But then I'm also like, I just grew up a Forces and Jordan guy. So a lot of my favorite Jordans came out already as golf shoes, which I like and love. Forces will be an absolute terrible golf shoe, though, the way that they are.
Why is that?
Because they're just big, bulky, heavy, just and there's no movement in them.
So you'd say they'd have
ankle support. Well, support around the...
They'd have to, like, tone it down, like the sole.
It can't be as bulky.
Yeah, and I think they'd have to have some more comfort, too.
Yeah, especially for walking, because the soles are just too flat.
So what you're asking for is completely unrealistic. Just like how you beat me in this match.
All right, so the next question we got.
See what I'm saying?
He just been coming up with stuff. All right, what's the next question?
Here's one that I actually like this question. Are roll pats valid? DJ Watt.
I'm bringing, do I got a roll pat? No, I don't.
No, you don't. I don't even know how to say his name.
Actually, roll pats. It depends on the type. If it's like a truck, like a trucker hat with a little rope across, I'll rock you.
I don't like
it. I might rock all truck. I'm not even doing these.
You know why I'm not a fan? Because I actually saw Jason Day doing this last week. The rope was like sliding up and you don't notice it.
Oh yeah.
So like, it's just like having one side of your collar popped out.
Yeah, yeah.
It just looks sloppy.
And it just distracts.
And you have no idea, right? You have no idea that you look dumb.
That's like when you go home and you see you got a little something in your nose all day, like right today. If I have a little thing, I'll be so mad.
And you know your girl might like gonna say shit. They're just gonna act
right. That's when you see who your real friends are, bro. Why are you like? I'll be mad, dog. Why you ain't tell me, dog? I'm up here.
I will tell you
on their face. Okay. There we go. Well, you a real one. All right, Stogies and Bogies. He asked, you know, what's some advice that you would have for beginners playing golf?
That's a good question because I think we have completely different perspectives. So. Mine is super simple. I started when I was 23 years old. All I did was hit golf balls. I never had a coach. I was too broke, so I couldn't afford it. And I just spent 10 hours a day hitting golf balls every day. And I probably have one of the ugliest, most reliable golf swings of all time. But
they can't beat me with it.
Let me answer my
question. Answer the question. Help them out.
But I figured out a way to use it in tournament, and I've had success with it. So I'd say for me, a lot of range work, a lot of figuring it out on your own and trusting your feel.
I would like to pair onto that. I agree with a lot of that. I think that a lot of you all can, if you just practice, you can figure it out on the range. A lot of us are athletes. We're good. We'll figure it out. You're out there practicing. You're hitting one way. You'll learn and try to figure out on your own how to hit it another way. But with that said, a lot of us don't have time to practice. A lot of us there's too much information out there on Instagram, YouTube to get advice from. Don't pay this shit any attention.
None.
Go get you a coach. Stick to, and go see him regularly or her regularly. And that's my main advice. You know, don't listen to the guy on the range at the end of the range. It's just sitting there.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, keep picking up and keep your head down and your tempo, you're too quick, like all that stuff. Don't listen to them. Get you a coach. That's your team. That's your person. And you listen to them, and you just stick with them.
Build a foundation.
And even if you don't practice, see them regularly enough so that is your practice. That's my biggest advice right there for sure.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Next one, another golf question. What are both your guys' thoughts about broomstick putters?
If I see you with a broomstick on the putting green, I know you used to have a yip, and you still currently might have one.
Right. If you see me on a broomstick with a putter, or on a broomstick putter, sweep me off the golf course. My career is done. This is my career is done.
Oh,
if I
shit.
Ever get to that far in my life where I'm used, that is the ugliest thing and most unathletic thing I've ever seen.
You can't even attach it to your body now.
Yeah. And so it's, I don't, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't know how you have feel. It doesn't look comfortable to me. But it is, I guess it cures people yips. Like, we both struggle with that, but we got the real cure.
We have the, let me tell you something right now. The broomstick thing, I don't rate it, but Christian and I have both have had the yips. Every pro golfer in your career, if you've played pro golf for at least 10 years,
yeah,
you've had a yip.
AKA you're old. But go ahead.
We both agree that we figured and cured the yip, and we both figured out the same way.
Yeah. Before we get to the solution, we're going to keep y'all in suspense. But do you remember when the first time you experienced?
Yes. Yes. And this is the craziest shit ever.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I've never had a yip in my life.
Right.
Third round, Q School, PGA Tour Latin America 2021.
Yeah.
I hit the turn. It was in Mazatlan, which you've played Q School there before.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you got your Canadian tour.
Yeah, I got my card up.
So I'm at like hole 12, the par 5.
Yeah.
Hit it in the tree.
That's the long par 5.
Long par 5.
Torso.
I hit it in the tree. I can't find my ball. I walk back. You know that tree over the bunker on the right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's not the one going towards the ocean.
The one going to the ocean. No,
okay.
After the par three.
Okay.
So I go back. I re-hit. I hit it short of the green. I chip. And I got this like 4-footer. And I'm like, I need to make this.
Yeah.
If I don't leave here with bogey, I might like, this is the third round. I'm like, I'm going to be in a tough position.
Right.
I made it, but I remember like literally hitting it off the toe.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
Bro, the next six holes, it was like the second I hit it, it was slow motion of hitting a ball and it was uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
And as I'm going through it, because it was new, I actually played really, I think I shot 3 under that day. I had a better cushion, but I was like, I went to bed that night and I was like, wait, do I have the yips? Bro, round four.
Yeah, it was.
So I ended up getting good conditional status that year, but it was because the yips haunted me all round four. I think I shot even.
Kept you from getting full. You didn't want to see a 3-footer.
No. And then.
Especially out there, those greens are like
crazy.
Grainy. There's, I don't know, they were slow when I played them.
Yeah. That was the first day, round three. I think it was November 10th, 2021.
Yeah.
The yips haunted me, and I didn't cure them for at least 15 months.
Bruh. I didn't want, when my first time was, so I took a break from golf for like two and a half years. And I've never played like meaningful golf at that point.
Okay.
Because the people in the area in St. Louis, they wouldn't want to bet with me because they knew who I was or whatever.
You were
too good. Right. I was saying, but I was trying to tell him I'm not him no more. I don't play golf in practice. So
you are not him.
I am not him. I'm just a shadow of him right now. But then I come back and I'm in US Open qualifying and I'm playing good. I think I buried the first hole. I got to like 2 under through like 12 holes and I started realizing that I started getting those feelings like I'm back in contention. I'm there. And out of nowhere,
it's just
a 3-foot putt. It's one of those putts where you know that you're about to miss it before you hit it.
Yeah,
you do it every, like you're trying to slow it down, redo your group, like reset and everything.
Now you're taking too long.
Hype yourself up. Now you're taking too long. So then you rush up, hurry up again. And as soon as I get like right before impact, this right wrist just disobeyed.
The flick of the wrist.
It just flicked. it's just a quick jerk. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are we doing that right now? And the next two holes, I was fine. If I had like a 10-footer for birdie, I was good. But if I had a 3-footer for birdie or 2-footer, this thing just got active. It was just like, yips every time. And from that point on, I was like, I was saying this to you, I was like, I think I got the yips. And it wouldn't happen in practice.
Never.
It just happened.
Never.
I would go back and putt and I would hit
all day.
3-footers all day and it's good. I'm ready. Go to the next tournament. First hole.
Yeah. So for me, because I'm left, I could play golf right-handed, but I'm left-handed.
Yeah.
So it was like my left hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it's like, for me, what I felt was the anticipation to hit the ball.
Exactly.
Was so slow.
Yeah.
And I couldn't anticipate when I'm actually, the feel of hitting it.
Yeah. So it's interesting you said that and use that, because I talked to Tim O'Neill about it.
Which you told me what he said. I remember I called you one day.
Yeah, he told me, like, he described it perfectly. It's the anticipation of the hit, because I felt takeaway was good, but then at impact, it was just, boom, it was just yippy. And he was like, dude, what I did was he started looking at the hole. And Jordan Spieth does it. He's well documented for that, like inside of 10 feet or 7 feet. So I started doing that.
So did I.
And that was a fix for a moment. So that's temporary. That's a fix number one.
It's a start.
It's a start. Now here's the real solution here.
The way to cure the yips, you're gonna go down a rabbit hole, right? You're gonna try different putters.
Yeah.
You're gonna go on Google. Didn't they say try different putters, try different grips, try different grip pressure.
Yeah.
You're gonna start looking at the hole and you're gonna be like, yo, I fixed it. Until that day where you look at the hole and you miss the ball.
Yeah.
There is only one way to cure the yips, and we both agree because we've both cured them, and that is
the claw. You gotta claw it, because
you have to claw it. To any golfer, amateur, pro golfer, college golfer, whoever you are, if you have a yip, you gotta bite the bullet and your pride.
Yeah.
You're gonna look stupid. Your dad's going to make fun of you, which my dad was all over me when I started clawing.
Right. I definitely thought I was too young for that.
But the claw helps you, for some reason, use your bigger muscles, calm your nerves, and helps you anticipate the point of contact.
Yeah. And did you switch to it?
Okay, I went through everything. I tried, like, every putter. So I had them for 15 months.
Yeah.
And I came back from Asian Tour Q School. I didn't get through. And I literally, like, ball strike the shit out of it. I made 3 birdies in 4 days.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
The days you stripe it to, you can't put.
And I remember I came home and I was like, fuck it, I'm getting an arm lock. So when I got the arm lock, the yips were gone.
It helped.
That's the other thing too.
Oh, because I used the wrist lock.
You used the wrist lock and I caught the arm lock.
Yeah.
And when I was using the arm lock, I was like, you know, I still feel that like yip when I hold it against my left arm.
Yeah.
So I just like tried the claw and I was like, oh, that feels good. And I went to... Actually, I think I went to the Valero pre-qualifier last year.
Ooh, well, I'm going there.
Which you're going to in San Antonio?
Yeah.
Shot 5 under with the claw. First time I've ever used it.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment.
Eureka.
I praise the Lord. Eureka.
Won't he do it?
I knew I cured the yip.
Won't he do it? Bruh, my first time doing it, it was the most random. I don't know why I thought about this. So... when I was on the big break, we did different competitions, and I was always nervous, right?
Yeah.
Super pressure packed. But the competitions and contests where we had like teams and partners, I was the most nervous. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I didn't want to let them down or look stupid or be the reason that we lose. Like, if I just mess up on my own, that's cool or whatever. So fast forward to this summer. APGA had their first ever 2-man event in New Orleans.
Shout out to APGA. I need my spot.
Yeah, shout out to them. Yeah, you're welcome, man. They're going to beat you out.
I hope so.
In New Orleans, because they have the PGA Tour event there, that's also a 2-man event. So we played the same format as them. So the first day was, what do we do the first day? I think it was like best ball or something. It was best ball. Then the second day was alternate shot. Played bad. I played decent the first day. Not great. I mean, I didn't make anything. But the second day, the first day I messed up because I started feeling it again.
Oh, shit.
It started to come alive. The wrist just started hand active. But this was worse because I was looking at the hole, but it wasn't yipping on 3-footers or 4-footers. I was yipping plus from like outside of 7 feet.
Yeah.
So now these putts have a potential to go 7 feet off the line because I'm just getting an impact and I'm yipping the heck out of it. It's the worst to like, at least if I yip a 3-footer, I could tap the 6-incher back because I'm barely getting it there. But now I'm like, dude, if he hits it, I'm thinking all night the day before the final round. It's in my mind. I'm anxious. I'm nervous about it. I'm scared. I'm worried about it. It's like, dang, I'm going to be really embarrassed if he hits the shot to like, 10 feet or 15 feet, and I yip it to like 5 feet.
Yeah, you're dumb.
Like, and it's just, I just look like a total idiot and stupid. So, we get to the first hole. I tee off first. Quinn hits it. Quinn Riley. Shout out to Quinn Riley. He hit it to about 7 feet.
Oh, shit. Right out of your range.
Just about 2 feet outside the range. And I start feeling it, dog. I get up there. And it's just a little jerk. Just a little jerk. Luckily, it was a straight downhill 7-footer. So I didn't have to use too much power and speed. So I just barely lipped it in on the low side. Cool. We made birdie. Next hole was par 5. We have about 10 feet. 10 feet for birdie. And it's uphill, so I got to give it some more gas, and I can't be scared. Like, I got to get it there. I missed that 2.5 feet right.
Oh, my God.
And a little bit short. And I just felt it. And I was scared at that point. I was like, what do I want to do? And the thing is, and of course, I just act like I was surprised. Like, how the heck that didn't break? I did not hit
it. Yeah, you got real one.
Right, I had to play it off, or I hit a spike mark or something like that. And then the third hole, I hit it on the green. He leaves it like 4 feet from the hole. And at that point, I was like, I need to do something different. And then I was just like, claw. Like, while he was hitting putts, hitting the first putt, like, I'm like, let me see how this
works. Yeah. That's what we all do.
Made it. When I tell you, I made nearly 110 feet of putts the rest of that round using the claw for the first time ever. And we shot 6 under, came back from 7 shots back, and won that tournament.
Got the dub.
First win in like 3 years on that tour, like forever on that tour. My fourth hole.
110 feet of putts.
I made like, you the Black Jordan footers. I was out there rolling it, dog. It was insane. We had a crazy stretch. And that was my first time ever using a club. Just out of.
I'm going to say it right now, y'all. Yip dysfunction is real.
This one is weird. Yeah. But we got the solution. So thank us. Try it.
This free game right there. That's $1 million worth of game right free, there.
I like that. I like it. All right. So that's our questions right there, man. Appreciate it. We'll probably offer some more opportunities. Put it in the comments if y'all have any more questions that you want or anything else, you know.
Yeah, I think these questions are good. I mean, obviously most people try to get through them quick, but these are real golf questions.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to actually spend time talking about them and engaging with the people that are asking. So thank you to everybody that asked.
And it's important too, because we sit up here and we don't look like golfers, but we actually do this. Like, we have PGA status. He's played on the Grand Prix. Man, I've won dozens of times on different tours.
You've played on Canadian tour. You played on European tour.
We're golfers.
Just gassing my guy. We're golfers. We're embracing this new world. But that's the beauty of this, is that, again, identity-wise, we look different and our voice is different.
Right.
We also can play, and we can give you guys and girls insight on how to cure yips.
Yeah.
You know, financial support. What events to play in, you know, for all you college, and that's something we want to talk about later on, and all you college golfers, junior golfers, when you turn pro, there's specific Mondays and qualifiers that you should go to and some that you shouldn't if you're not playing well, you know.
Right.
So we'll get into that another day.
Absolutely. But again, the beauty of this is that this is golf right here. This is what it looks like. Exactly. You all on the other side of the screen, this is golf, and you all listening as well. Speaking of that, people like us getting involved with the game of golf and being a part of golf. It was just announced that in the past, you know, I think they announced this like last month, PGA Tour launched the PGA Tour Enterprise with SSG Investment Group. It's supposedly a $3 billion. Would it be?
A billion.
$3 billion. Dude, do you know how much a billion dollars is when you really think about it?
Nope. I have no clue.
Really dope.
So but far,
billion is so much, and so $3 billion with the signing. This they initiated with $1.5 billion, but it's going to end up being $3 billion. Along with that group, it is LeBron James,
jeez,
and guy from Toronto, not Matt Kang.
Sick. Oh,
rapping some OVO stuff, but not Matt Kang. Drizzy Drake. Drizzy Drake is a part of the SSG investment.
And many others.
Right. But it just came out recently last week. It was a big kind of over a couple of different posts that he was a part of that. What do you think that says for the game of golf? Does it say anything? I mean, the timing is kind of, they're very closely related to you being in Turks, giving Drake his first set of golf clubs. Do we have you to thank for it? Do we say what?
All I'm going to say is no comment. We'll see what happens in the future.
Bro, you got the inside scoops? What's up?
No comment.
That's it. All right.
You have to wait for episode 4.
Yeah. You got to wait for episode 10. Keep watching, but you got to keep watching the other episodes and subscribing and following and all that stuff.
Well, I'll say this. It was a great play. They obviously needed the money to compete with Liv.
Facts.
To get people like that involved is amazing. But people also have to understand, like, I said it the other day on an Instagram Live. There are multiple people in this. $3 billion is a lot of money. There are maybe 20, 30, 40 people involved.
Yeah, I got a list coming up.
Those are the two celebrity names that they push to create a buzz.
Right.
This also was not posted on the PGA Tour's Instagram or website. This was posted on every other media outlet. So, you know, we got to be realistic here, right? Like, people invest in things all the time and it's put out, but you don't ever see them actively involved.
Right.
I think we'll have to be patient and see.
So it says, like, the big players are, there's, I mean, a lot of guys, they own at least 8 professional sport franchises. This is the first ever league and tour that they own, but it's mostly led by the Fenway Sports Groups, who's the owner of Boston Red Sox, Liverpool, Pittsburgh Penguins. We got the guy that owns the Falcons. It's a lot of big dogs that we don't really know that, I mean, if they pushed it, we probably would be like, who the hell?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, those guys that you name have more money and actual more power in this business decision.
Yeah.
But culturally, they're going to push the people that they need to push, which, again, is LeBron, Drake, Chris Pratt. I don't remember anyone else. So it's a good play. I wish this happened a year ago because, like, to see all these guys go to live is sad to see, you know, the tour is.
Yeah, the tour is looking, it's looking desperate right now.
They need to hire Flesh Hour.
They need to.
To play, to do the podcast, to style.
Audit.
All of that.
We're going to talk about that.
We'll put your logo right here.
That's what we need.
But yeah, man.
No, I think it's interesting. It's good. It shows. And it's also, so now golf is no longer a nonprofit. It's for profit. These people are smart. They're investing in the tour to get a profit. And so they're really invested in growing the tour. So yeah. We want to see what that entails. Is that bringing the Liv players back to the PGA Tour? Absolutely. To see how they don't grow without those big names and those stars. But there is going to be a change. I read that there's a board with several players, Jay Monahan, but these guys, several of these guys from SSG are going to have a pretty big say in what happens with the tour. So
yeah, I mean, I read an article today that Joaquin Neiman, who's won twice on the Liv Tour this year, has to Monday qualify for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That dude's one of the best ball strikers.
Wait, is that true?
It said today I got an invite to the PGA Championship.
Not Monday, but
the sectional. The sectional.
Okay.
That's on a Monday.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
36 holes.
You're right.
You're asking top 15 golfer in the world, really, even though he's out of the top 100 ranking.
That's playing in the Masters.
To qualify for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, but you know, that's what I was saying last week too, though. Those fields for U.S. Open sectionals are crazy. Like, he's better than that for sure.
I mean, like, yeah, Brooks has won, so he's good. But there's a lot of guys that haven't won a U.S. Open on the Live Tour that are going to have to play in a Monday qualifier.
Yeah, that is crazy. Well, shoot, man. Hey, shout out Drake. Shout out LeBron. The water's warm over here in golf. Come mess with us. We appreciate it.
No comment.
We appreciate it. LeBron, I respect this. I appreciate it like I said.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Jordan the GOAT still.
Bro, LeBron been playing.
Ben said it.
LeBron been playing 20-something years, fam.
Okay, what you want to give him?
He's the GOAT.
Just, man, that is not how it works.
Jordan.
If that's longevity achievement.
He's broke every statistic.
Just because of longevity. You just see, that's totals versus.
Okay, but that's part of talent, being able to last that long.
I give him credit for it, but it don't make him better than Jordan. You're not going to change my mind. First of all, you're not going to change this kid from Illinois. The first basketball game he ever seen was Jordan. This don't help my argument because obviously I'm biased. But it's still facts. Jordan is still the GOAT, dog.
Jordan is a GOAT. He is a GOAT. But I'm talking the everything. You talk about branding. You talking about
Jordan. Do not that. Do, You talking about branding.
His branding is crazy, but I'm talking about like entertainment. I'm talking about records. I'm talking about longevity.
First of all, if we talking about entertainment, what was better, Space Jam or Space Jam 2?
Don't do this.
That's already been done.
Don't do this.
Shout out to Space Jam, the best Space Jam, the original.
LeBron has built an empire.
Shout out to investing in golf, LeBron. Nothing against you.
And a world where so many different things are moving. Like, I get it. Jordan, I love Jordan. I love Michael Jordan. But LeBron had to adapt to the way the world is now and has still made himself relevant and impactful.
Jordan had to do the same thing. He had to adapt back then. It ain't stayed. It don't stay the same. We finna move on. Speaking of adapt, that's good. We won't have to adapt.
LeBron is my go.
Challenge, Jay. Hey, LeBron, you go. You crazy too. You solid. Number two, never all being number two of all time.
Wow.
All right.
That's what you're gonna be next week in our match.
Speaking of adapt, the golf game is changing, man. We're seeing it more and more. I was talking to, and I'm finally starting to realize it. I talked about it in episode one. How I used to be so repulsed by somebody saying that I was the influencer. I was like, no, I'm a golfer. This is what I do. That's a different scene over there. I'm not about that. But now it looks like, man, these influencers are really taking over and getting opportunities.
Yep, and I got information about that. By the way, for all you pro golfers that don't like that title, 2 days ago, if your Instagram shut down, and you had anxiety, you're an influencer. You ain't bullshit. You ain't a pro golfer. If you panic because this shit wasn't turning on, influencer.
Right. I panicked.
I found out today from the homie that they already played that qualifier.
Oh, no, yeah. They played it. It was either Monday or Tuesday.
And they purposely didn't post the scores.
Right.
To build suspense.
Well.
But also,
oh, yeah.
That just gets me thinking, like, why wouldn't we put the scores out live for people to see?
Because that's not what it's about. This year, so what they did, let's talk about it. So they got the tournament, the PGA Tour. They're having their first ever tournament in Myrtle Beach. To bring awareness to this, which a lot of tournaments do, the sponsors have hosted an influencer YouTuber qualifier.
15 players.
15 or 16 players. For one spot.
Now, does that spot come out of the Monday qualifier field then? So there's only a three or two?
No. This is part of their sponsors.
So this is
it's always the same. Okay. But it's essentially people might be mad because they're taking a spot from a PGA Tour player that is writing letters to get an exemption.
I'm not mad.
Some of the names in the field, me neither. I don't know a lot of these. I know some of these.
Probably names. The Bryan Bros.
Let me know who you know here. Mark Atkins.
No.
George Bryan.
Yeah, solid.
Jay Card 3.
No.
I feel like he's a qualifier tour player. Morgan Dineen.
No.
Peter Finch.
No.
Grant Horvat.
The joggers dude. Yes, I know him.
Luke Kwan.
Played at Oklahoma. He's pretty good.
Michael Morris.
Works out too much.
Turk Pettit.
No idea.
Dan Rappaport.
The reporter for the PGA Tour?
Facts.
Wow, he finesses all slot, huh?
Is he a player? Do this is a background.
I don't know. He's Matthew Fitzpatrick's like agent from what I saw in Full Swing, but then he also works for the Bleacher Report.
Well, he's out there. Scott Stevens.
That's an ex-hockey player that I know of.
Nick Stubbe. That's Fat Perez or FP. We can't say Fat Perez, even though he's separately in control. Tyler Watts.
Never.
Jamie Wilson.
No.
And Mason Nutt or Cole Lance. Why did I laugh at that? I am just so childish. Why did I laugh at that?
And laughing because you're a red nut. Why? Big why.
Just childish.
Big why for that.
Anyway, these guys.
And again, by the way, me saying no, not doing disrespect.
No disrespect.
I commented on the clothes, but I don't know.
I started getting more into it. But dude, when you look at it, like Grant Horvat, I looked at some of the stuff, the Bryan Bros.
Good for them.
These boys getting numbers up on YouTube. They getting paid.
Dude, yeah.
Good stuff. Some of their views got 1 million.
More.
Some got 600,000. I think the least one I've seen, they just posted one yesterday, and it already had like 250,000.
Bruh, again,
those two.
People get confused. Like, I make fun of like joggers and specific clothes, right?
Right.
Them dudes is killing it. This is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So anybody, any pro golfer that has trolled, that has said, nah, this is taken away from us. Yes, originally that was my reaction too. But if you actually take a second to sit back and look, it's the same thing as getting LeBron and Drake into the PGA Tour. You have to adapt to the way the world is and to the way the culture of the game is growing.
Yeah.
And this is the fastest, best way to have people pay attention to a tour that is watered down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I actually think this is great for golf. This is great for the PGA Tour. They need to add two more players. A yellow boy.
No, that's you. Oh, and a black boy.
And a black boy. And give us a chance, because we are influencers.
Yeah.
And, no, I'm just playing. But, no, I think it's great for the game. I think it's smart. I think it's really easy, and it's low risk. Because at the end of the day, I already know that you've named two or three players that have had status. One has already made a cut this year on tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was the Brian Bros. Yeah. Dude. And so, in all reality, again, just like any Monday qualifier we talked about on episode one, you have a field of 100 players in a Monday qualifier. 30 to 40 have a chance.
Yeah.
That percentage is the same. You have 15 players. 2 to 3 have a chance.
Yeah.
And out of those 2 or 3, if they show up and play their game, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
So my money is on George Bryan. Hometown kid.
He is on. Yeah. They got another kid in there. He's not an influencer, but he's from the area. But I like George. I'm be honest with you.
Yeah.
But this is nothing new. Like, right now, the whole like George Floyd sympathy run is we've kind of run out of that. So we had a spell after like George Floyd where they would give exemptions to a lot of APGA players, black players, because that was marketable. I never got one, even though
I'm the
only APGA player with multiple wins.
Say it again. I got 4. Say his name.
But I never
Flush Our Heavens.
But I never like begged for an exemption. I always wanted to go out there and earn it. And I just didn't win the right bits as well. But there's a good stretch where we got a lot of flack for PGA Tour player events giving sponsors exemptions to black players that have earned it, right? But in reality, we know what that was about. They didn't expect them. They gave them an opportunity, but it was more so that the marketing on the tour's part, on that tournament, on that sponsor's part right there. Before that, they would get Steph Curry in events. They would get Tony Romo in events.
Yeah.
To get eyes and more people to watch and be intrigued in their events, to create storylines, to get people attracted to their events.
Yeah.
This is the next way. So what they're doing is they're going to wait until next month, a little closer, and they're posting this event all quiet. They're keeping the content quiet, the results, they're all under wraps. And you have to go to their page. All of the influencers are going to have their people out there posting it to their page where they get 800,000 to 1.2 million views.
That's more than any tour will ever get.
So you put it all together, they're going to have close to like about 5 million views that's just already brought to their tournament before it even happens. And then those people are going to watch it follow. So it's smart. It's definitely smart. I think the only thing that worries me is I see this as the future of golf, but it's looking kind of like the past of golf that we've been working hard to prevent. Like, it looks, the feel looks very much the same. Everybody's kind of the same guy. I mean, that's just...
What do you mean by that?
Get yellow and black in there.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I'm not saying get us in there.
And it's not their problem either.
No.
Right? It's
maybe they just...
an opportunity that we...
This is something we talked about on the phone the other day. Maybe it's something where these guys are so famous and popular. Maybe they just don't know other things that are going around. Maybe, you know, we just started Flush Hour, right?
Right, right.
We're of the culture. We're a different identity. We're a different voice. We dress different. We talk different.
Yeah.
We have different friends. But maybe somebody who is doing really, really well isn't spending his time on the phone looking at what's coming or what's new or what's fresh. It's their responsibility to. But just like I said to you the other day about how billionaires are not sitting at the table with people that are working a 9-to-5, working hourly.
Yeah.
It would be really cool to see them communicate. But in all reality, they don't have the time, energy to figure out what's coming.
Right, right.
They hire people for that. So I don't blame the guys. It's not their fault for not knowing and having like diversity and an identity in these events or in these videos.
Yeah.
They don't have time. They're running a business.
Yeah. And it's not even their...
No, but they have a team of people that could do the research.
That's true. That's true. It's not there. I don't want to see it as a problem as well, but it's more of an opportunity for us to, in a lane, right? If we do this, like what we're doing now, if we do this well, we have that opportunity, right?
100%.
They look for us. Our numbers will never be kind of like a Grand Horvath or Good numbers. There's like 1. Whatever million. Like we cater to a small, like a niche. We got a certain culture that we're catering to, but we get that culture and those people, you all, to be loyal, supportive, and really enthused about what we're doing. Adding their niche to their platform can only improve their, you know, product.
I agree with you, but I also disagree with you that we're small right now because we just started. We're actually a cause of their effect of what they've done. We're seeing what they do.
Yeah.
It's worked. And we see a flaw in what we want in the product. So we've started this, right?
That's true.
But the culture that we talk about, fashion, music, hip hop, or that's music, sports, celebrity, entertainment, it is the most groundbreaking movement in any sport you can find. There's right. a reason why LeBron and Drake invested into the PGA Tour. They're running with that. You look at any other sport, it is driven by the culture.
Yeah.
You know? That is what makes things blow up and get bigger and bigger, because you look at fashion's a perfect example. It used to be, you know, models that you've never heard of. Now it's just celebrities.
Right.
Because that is the culture. That's what sells. That's what people pay attention to. So I think what you said is right. But I disagree with you that we're niche. We can cater to a mass, and I think we will if we stay consistent, because what we're talking about, the way we look, and our lane that we have isn't taking control in the golf space yet. But we've seen the support from specific individuals that we have.
Yeah.
And those are the people that we're catering to, and hopefully through their support, it'll grow. And then we're going to have an opportunity to be able to have our own platform, hopefully to collaborate with people like that to make a real change in the game.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm talking about niche, I'm not talking like 100 people or whatever. No. But with the getting to the numbers of 800,000, a million views, like I think our culture, the culture is more so, is very popular, right? But in the same, very more marketable as well. But it's more in an aspirational sense. Like they put us in stuff, or the culture, they put rap music and stuff when they want to sell something, or, you know, want you to attain this type of like something just luxurious to work hard and buy or whatever. But with I seen it during the Waste Management, man, those guys, they've created like the frat boy culture that they a lot of golf players, like the ones coming up, they see it more relatable. Instead of aspirational, like they see that they are them.
That's already. Exactly what it is. Relatable.
Yeah. They're so.
Which again, you said frat boy, whatever, frat house. And like the problem with me, and I hopefully I don't say this wrong. The problem for me is that that's essentially what the PGA Tour was.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying.
They're copying what has already been done in a new world.
Right.
But that's what's wrong with the game.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying I see this as a future, but I fear that it's starting, this future starting over the same way PJ is representing. So again, we just got to come out with more with content. It's hard. I mean, I tried to have like cameras out there, or like my own camera out
both.
There. Dude, you got to have a team. Like now they're so good at it. They got 4 or 5 people with cameras around them. They're probably putting in 3,000 to 5,000 per video
and make it like just to walk out of their house.
Video. Yeah, to walk out and play. And it's just, and they don't have to worry about the editing. They don't have to worry about anything else. Trying to be a professional golfer doing that while you're trying to still play golf and make money is really tough. So I think that's the hard part with a lot of like my friends that are not in the YouTube space that are still golfers. It's hard to juggle both.
But you know what? I think I look at that as it is tough. I think for both of us, we've talked about how difficult it is. I'm a dad too. I'm a dad now. So like just adding that to my resume has been difficult. But I also see a way where you and I are doing things that we've never done. We're adding to our resume. We're evolving.
Yeah.
And we're going to be able to not only help ourselves, but then like change the game for other people to have these avenues of a podcast, of an Instagram, of all these different things that we do. And it just gets me really excited, man, honestly.
Like, yeah.
Because the potential is large for us. And I'm really, really happy and excited to keep pushing forward.
No, though, I got the same feeling. Like, we just got to stay. I said this from day one. We just got to stay consistent. You all keep doing what you're doing. I can't, you know, say it enough. Supporting us, subscribing, following, sharing our content. We gonna be seen. We gonna get in that doggone. We gonna next good event in French Lick, Indiana. We gonna get in that book.
That course is fire, by the way.
You played then?
No, I just heard.
Oh, you know, he's talking about stuff like he been there. Oh.
I'm just saying it because I'm trying to get there.
Right. We go look. We just trying to grow, collab. But with all that kumbaya stuff, I still think we whoop their ass.
100%. I'll say it right now. You get any two players in that event against us two, no kizzy, yellow and black all day.
All day. All day, baby. Bro, it's going to be different now. They can't handle you, though.
No. Someone's going to want to fight.
Yeah, I was about to say, it ain't even the golf part. It's more the talking shit. This the outside of the.
Yeah, and rumor has it. What's that dude's name? Grand Horvat?
Yeah.
I seen him claw.
He want. Oh, he is clawing. So he ain't got the yips, though.
No. He still has yips.
How we sell the yips as a fix, and he clawing, or the claw is the fix for the yips?
Damn it, you're right.
He don't got the yips, though. But he's still going to get beat.
There's no chance.
Anybody. I'm down for it. That'd be dope, actually.
Yeah, it would be.
Pico and Gabe, we've been practicing on them young boys all day. ASU, shout out to them.
I've been dodging them for a little bit, but I'm ready.
Yeah, we just can't play them at their home course. Pop will go real track.
Yeah, we can't play there.
What else you got going?
That's it, man. For me personally, I got a couple projects going on. I got that event in Toronto that I'm doing.
Okay.
The Golf Fest.
Yeah.
So it'll be exciting. Obviously, I invited you out there. Hopefully.
Yeah. But I don't know if I'm going to be able to make that one, but we'll sort out.
But yeah, man, I'm just hustling, just staying busy. How about you? What's your next event?
Leaving in 2 weeks. I'm going to do the Valero. Yeah, do the Valero pre-qual and Monday qualifier. And it's more so, I just got to get something on the schedule to practice and get ready for. And it'll warm me up for U.S. Open. Like, U.S. Open's more of my bigger goal, so I'm going to just get that knocked out.
Where are you doing U.S. Open?
Oh, yeah. All right,
y'all. So you were supposed to do it with me.
So, yeah, I had to switch because of my scheduling. I got a tournament in Florida the day before, and I ain't going to be able to make it back. So I'm not in Southern. Were you in Southern Dew still?
Yep.
Well,
I'm not saying you scared, but I'm saying you ducking. But it's okay. I got my young boy, Gabriel Savanera, at DC Ranch.
Okay, bring your young sniper at us. We both going to get through. Hopefully, it's more than two spots or one spot. But, I'm at DC Ranch now. What's it, May 13th? Is it underplayed? So I'm down for it.
You definitely got to play a practice round. It's not one of those places where you just show up.
Play. Okay. Dang, I was planning on just doing
it. No, you definitely don't want to do that. Trust me.
I don't even know if I want that course now.
Switch it. Christian Evans is switching U.S. Open sites
right,
10 times before he actually plays.
It ain't about me. It's about y'all now. So look, all right. Shout out to Top Golf, the sponsor of me. When I took a break from playing golf, like I talked about earlier, I was actually director of instruction at Top Golf in St. Louis. So now for me to be playing golf again, you know, on my second journey as a professional golfer, and not to be working for Top Golf, but how Top Golf support me as a golfer is really dope. And I've seen what it's done to really grow the game of golf. And they just continue to be there whenever I need to. So shout out to Top Golf. And we got a giveaway. You want to tell them what we're giving away?
No, what's up? That's your sponsorship, sure, man. Well, you plug that.
Listen here. Top Golf is everywhere. It's got to be one near you. Got a giveaway for a $300 gift card. $300. Do everything.
What is that for?
Everything. What you need? You need this covered. The golf, food, drinks. You have up to 8 people in the bay kicking it with you. All that. 6 can play. 8 can stay. And that's covered.
That should cover the whole night, right?
That should cover the whole night and some, unless y'all getting real turned up. But whatever you got, it's $300.
So how do you want to do that?
All right, so we're gonna bring some more traction. We love what's going on with the IG page. But look, follow us on IG, tag 3 people, and we'll announce the winner on Monday. So
cool, $300 Top Golf. You could use it for anything at Top Golf.
Yeah,
and all you gotta do is follow, tag 3 friends. All
right,
just keep it simple.
Yep, do anything you want, no limit. Well,
is this something that we want to do every episode where we give back to the people that support us?
I think so, man. We get access to a lot of stuff. You might do some, leave in some comments too on the other posts.
What do y'all want to see?
Yeah, what do y'all want? We got drivers, putters.
But just don't be crazy, all right? Like,
be crazy. You just ain't gonna get a response. That's yes. You can be crazy, but you ain't get a response. So we rolling with that. What about that shirt? We wanna give that shirt away, would you?
Hell no. Nah.
Come on, somebody hey.
This is fake. You see that video of the game?
What game?
The rapper of the game?
No,
he's like, I'm broke. This is fake.
He didn't.
He was just like talking about like these are Kanye's pants. That's fake.
No,
this bootleg.
No, he didn't. That's funny there. Well, shoot, man. That's no episode 3 in the books.
Yeah, man.
Keep it going. Again, comment, share, follow, subscribe.
Show some love.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate y'all, man.
We appreciate everybody for showing love. Yeah, man. Thanks for the time, Christian.
Absolutely, y'all. All right, y'all.
All right, peace.